Noong 2010, I was serving as an executive pastor po sa Pilipinas. And one of the things that I love doing is mission trip. Binibisita po namin ang aming mga partners in ministry in different parts of the globe. So it was my first time to travel to Kenya. So it is a beautiful country, beautiful people. And we have concentrated yung aming ministry sa tinatawag na Nairobi yung area. Nairobi, Kenya, which back then was, if I'm remembering it correctly, the second largest slum sa buong mundo, yung mismong Kibera area. So there we were, there's a church there. It's interesting because I love hanging out with the people doon. Because I'm really noticeable, ano? I'm really stood up. Every time na naglalakad po ako sa slums ng Kibera, the children are laughing, following me. Every time nagsasalita ako, they giggle. No? So it was a fun time. And then na-discover ko na meron silang tinawag sa akin. They called me Muzungu. Muzungu! Every time nalalabas ako sa street, Muzungu! 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 So, di ako naman, ano kaya yun, Muzungu na yun? So, what happened? So, what happened is, tinanong ko po, yung syempre yung pastor doon. And then he chuckled and he said, that means, sa Tagalog, tisoy. Well, hindi ako tinawag tisoy sa Pilipinas. But I was different. I talk different. I walk different. I carry my clothes different from them. And then I carried that with pride, honestly, walking around them. Because I am a person that probably looks strange sa kanila. A foreigner. You know, kadalasan, ang mga expats or foreigners sa ibang bansa are viewed as someone who is strange. They are often ignored, misunderstood, laughed at, and sometimes suspected because they definitely look and act differently. They have a different culture. You know, bilang mga expats of this world, we will be misunderstood. We will be, at times, laughed at. Sometimes even being suspected and even mistreated. Not just by anyone, by friends, colleagues, or even family members because of our faith. Because we talk different now. We live different now, differently. We carry ourselves hindi na kagaya ng noon. They notice that we now have a different culture. How do we respond if we face suffering for Christ? Well, our passage this morning will speak into this. As we look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. We are continuing our mini sermon series in the book of 1 Peter, where we focus on chapters 4 and 5. Isinulat po ito ni Apostle Peter sa mga Gentile Christians sa Asia Minor na nakakaranas ng persecution dahil sa kanilang pananampalataya kay Kristo. Sa chapter 2, verse 9 to 12, tinawag sila ni Peter na aliens and strangers o mga expats. Di dahil sila ay mga foreigners sa Asia Minor, kundi mga citizens of heaven na nakatira na sa mundong ito. And as citizens of heaven, they are to demonstrate their faith not by rebelling, not by pushing back, but by suffering. Continue doing what is right and showing love and generosity sa kanilang mga kaaway. Just like Jesus. Last week, Peter instructed us that since Christ suffered on the cross in obeying God's will, lahat tayong mga followers of Jesus Christ should prepare to suffer living for the will of God. And He gave us instructions on how we are to live as expats of this world as we wait for that glorious return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My prayer sa atin this morning, in the midst of suffering, may our joy in Christ increase and find comfort and rest as we entrust our lives to our faithful, sovereign God. That is my prayer for us this morning. That is my prayer for my own soul. Expats of this world must be ready to face trials with joy, worship, and trust in the sovereign God. Expats of this world must be ready to face trials with joy, worship, and trust in the sovereign God. This passage is divided into 3 points. Number one, rejoice, verses 12 to 14. Second, glorify God's name, verses 15 to 16. And number three, entrust our lives to the sovereign God, verses 17 through 19. Number one, rejoice. Basahin po natin muli ang verse 12. Beloved. Let's stop right there. Pansin nyo, tinawag ni Peter silang beloved or mga minamahal. He also addressed them this way sa chapter 2, verse 11. And both signal that he is about to say something very hard or very, very difficult. Something that is hard to obey. Something that is costly. Peter loves them so much. And he wants them to know that what he is about to say came from a place of love. That's why he calls them beloved, mga minamahal. Because he is going to speak the truth with love. Remember the context? They are suffering. Now, basahin natin kung ano yung encouragement and ano yung hard truth na gusto niya sabihin with love sa kanyang mga readers. Verse 12 to 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. Peter just said two difficult things. One, expect suffering to come. If you're suffering, that's the last thing you want to hear. And second, in the midst of that suffering, rejoice. That's even more harder. Mas mahirap lunukin yon. Sinimulan ni Peter and section by reminding them to not be surprised sa suffering na haharapin nila. Peter calls it fiery trial, which is fundamentally being insulted. And we see that in the context of verse 14. So this is not just all general suffering. This is a specific suffering because of them walking in faith, obeying Christ, doing the will of God. Because of that, they are verbally insulted. So that's the fiery trial. Peter is mentally preparing them. Gusto niya magkaroon sila ng tamang theological mindset about following Christ and suffering. Following Christ and suffering. At ang sinasabi ni Peter ay suffering is inevitable sa mga followers ni Jesus Christ. Suffering is inevitable to those who follow Christ. At mga kaibigan, ito ay helpful reminder sa atin bilang mga expat sa mundong ito. Dapat meron tayong expectation na part of following Jesus is suffering for Him. The part of being a Christian is to suffer for Jesus. Suffering is inevitable. It will happen. Sinabi dyan, it's just a matter of time. Either you are facing trials right now, or you will face trials soon. Alam ni Peter ang sinasabi niya dahil ito ang sinabi sa kanya, sinabi sa kanila ng mga disciples ni Jesus Christ. So John chapter 15, verse 18 to 20, Jesus promised suffering sa kanilang mga disciples. And Jesus said, if the world hates you, and this is John 15, 18 to 20, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. Sabi sa John 16:33 from the mouth of Jesus, a Christian Standard Bible, you will have suffering in this world. Just as Jesus mentally prepares his disciples, ngayon si Peter naman prepares the churches in Asia Minor, at tayo ngayon sa crossroads, na part of following Jesus is suffering for him. Suffering for Christ ay bahagi na ng buhay ng isang tunay na Kristiyano. Suffering. And this is not a popular teaching, friends. This is not a popular teaching sa karamihan ng mga churches sa panahon natin. Kadalasan ang mga messages ay overemphasize and prioritize positivity. Dapat good vibes lagi ang message. Na ang buhay Kristiyano ay dapat laging masaya at masagana. Na dapat hindi nagkakaroon ng paghihirap ang isang tunay na Kristiyano. Laging victorious, successful. A Christian should be a world changer. May good health, abundant wealth, and prosperity. A life filled with blessing. That's why many tend to see God only as loving, kind, gracious, and generous. And yes, these are true about God. But we must understand that He's also holy, that He's righteous, that He is sovereign, in control of His creation and everything in this world. And yes, God does heal. Tama po yun. God does bless. Tama po yun. God does answer prayers. Amen to that. But He does this according to His good pleasure, in accordance to His sovereign will. We must heed Jesus and Peter's reminder na ang buhay ng Kristiyano ay may nakalakip na suffering. That we should take up our cross and follow Him. We should not find suffering sa Christian life as strange. Don't find it strange, friends. Looking back sa verse 4, if naalala niyo yung last week, kung ang kanilang mga non-Christian friends were surprised, same language, and found them strange, same language, dahil sa kanilang newfound faith at kanilang practice, and because of that, they were ridiculed, they too should not be surprised that they're being treated that way. Ang mga expats of this world should not find suffering for Christ strange, but normal. Suffering sa isang tunay na Christian should be normal. Not because we're looking for it, not because we're masochists na gusto kong mahirapan, but because Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for us. Those who follow Jesus Christ will suffer as well. We must accept it as normal para sa ating as we accept this as normal, makakaranas po tayo ng insults. Verbal abuse. It's normal to be made fun of. It's normal to be misunderstood. Accused as self-righteous. Accused as bigots. Discriminated. It is normal to be rejected and lose relationships and friendships because of Christ. Hindi dapat strange sa atin when we are suffering for Christ, friends. It should be normal. It's not strange for Jesus, who suffered on the cross for us, and we are called to follow Him in this path. Suffering is not only inevitable, but it's also purposeful. It's purposeful. Verse 12. The fiery trial, when it comes upon you, to test you. To test you. This is the same language na ginamit niya sa 1 Peter chapter 1. Pwede niyong isulat verses 6 to 7. The same language, but with more details than this. But let me read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 6, verses 6 to 7. Sorry, 1 Peter 1, verses 6 to 7. And Peter says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Mga kaibigan, our faith in Christ is going to be tested. As a matter of fact, probably right now, it's being tested. It's going to be tested by many kinds of trials that will grieve you. But it's not designed to destroy you and me. It is designed to build us up and to strengthen us. Ang imagery na ginamit dito is parang yung refiner's fire, kung tawagin, na kung saan ang gold ay dumadaan po sa intense fire para matunaw yung mga impurities ng gold or silver na yan, para paglabas niya mismo sa fire na yon, it will come out to be pure and genuine. The purpose of trials is to make our faith genuine. As we persevere through suffering, brothers and sisters, we show our faith to be authentic and not synthetic, hindi fake. Kaya mga ka-expats sa mundong ito, suffering for Jesus brings glory to God. Suffering for Jesus brings glory to God. Because followers of Jesus, in the midst of hardships and pain, are willing to live lives that are distinct from the world around them. They will live lives that are noticeable, that are different, that they would see that in spite of suffering, they continue to cling on to this Jesus. Friends, suffering for Christ is distinctively Christian. Mga kaibigan, is your faith being tested today? How have you responded to suffering this week? Have we given in to the pressure? Bumigay ba tayo? Did we lose our temper? Nag-snap ba tayo? Did we give in sa mga tawag ng laman? Did we give in sa mga shady deals para makabenta? Did we compromise? What's your mindset kapag dumadating ang trial sa buhay mo? As a person who's walking with Christ. What's your mindset? Do we deny it? Do we have this theology by saying, alam mo, hindi naman kalooban ng Diyos ang mga Kristiyano na mabigyan ng paghihirap. Hindi will ng Lord ang suffering sa isang Kristiyano. Is that what you believe? Or maybe you're the person who just rebukes it away. Ah, may problema. In Jesus' name, wala na yan. In Jesus' name. May sumasagabal sa akin. In Jesus' name, matatanggal yan sa trabaho. Nakakatakot yung mga ganun prayers, ano? You just rebuke it away. Mga ka-expat sa mundong ito, this is not how we should respond when suffering for Jesus come. Then paano, Pastor? Well, Peter answers us. Verse 13. Kasi sabi ni Peter, we should rejoice. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. Peter is telling these suffering saints to rejoice in the midst of persecution. And friends, to be honest with you, if you are honest and just read this, you would say, that is crazy. That is difficult. This is not normal. And my response is, yeah, it is not normal. Maunawaan natin to rejoice kapag may successes tayo sa buhay. It's normal to rejoice if we have victories and achievements. But to rejoice in suffering is not normal. It's abnormal. Hindi tayo nagre-rejoice sa actual insults. Hindi po yun ang sinasabi ni Peter dito, ay, na-insulto ako, praise the Lord, na-insulto ako, insultoin mo pa ako. Hindi po yun ang sinasabi niya. Na-persecute ako, na-enjoy ko yung persecution, na rejoice. Hindi po yun. The answer is in the passage. Okay? Hindi dahil sa tayong insults, mockery, or even rejection that we rejoice kasi masakit po yun. Pero dahil sa allegiance natin kay Christ, when we suffer in His name, we should rejoice sa privilege that we now participate in the suffering of Jesus Christ. Yun yung sinabi niyang unang reason. That's why we need to rejoice. We now participate, we share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Great! I'm now suffering like my Master Savior Jesus Christ, doing God's will. We rejoice. We should use that as a badge of honor. Of all people, si Peter ang nakakaunawa nito. Kasi sa Acts chapter 5, nung kinulong siya at saka si John, because of him sharing the gospel, dinakip siya at kinulong sila. After a few while, the angel from the Lord ay pinakawalan sila. And after nung pinakawalan sila, nag-preach sila ulit. Nung hinanap sila ng otoridad, pinadakip sila ulit. And from there, they were flogged. Ginulpi sila. Then eventually, pinakawalan din sila ulit. But here's what Peter and John said sa Acts 5:41. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Whose name? Jesus' name. Acts chapter 16, si Paul at Silas, kinulong din. Nung nasa kulungan sila, sabi sa verse 25, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were exalting Christ in suffering. Now, I'll give you a little side application dito. That's why it is important, brothers and sisters, to sing gospel-saturated, word-saturated songs. We need to sing biblical songs because it encourages the soul. It strengthens the soul. And if we have invited friends and they hear the singing and are informed by the singing from God's Word, they get to hear what kind of God we worship. Another side application is when we're suffering, when we're hurting, one of the best things to do is to sing worship songs. Because here's what happens. When we sing, while we're suffering, we sing to our great Creator, yung attention po ay nawawala sa atin. The attention is not in our problems. The attention is not in our hurts. The attention is not on ourselves, but our attention is this beautiful Savior. We Savior, the Savior. And in all of His excellencies and beauty. And then, there is this weird joy na alam natin hindi galing sa atin. A joy that is coming from the Spirit, which we'll see later on, that rests in us. Friends, rejoicing in the midst of suffering is not normal human response to suffering. Pero the way they are responding sa suffering ay isang palatandaan na sila'y tunay na Kristiyano. If we are responding with rejoicing in our hearts, with joy in the Lord, in the midst of suffering, that marks us a true follower of Jesus Christ. They rejoice di lamang because they identify with the sufferings of Christ, but there's also a second reason. But this also assures them that they will be overjoyed as they see yung presence ng Panginoon Jesucristo in His second coming. When Christ returns, we will see Him in all of His glory, as mentioned last week. We will behold His beauty, His majesty, His grandeur, His perfection. And we cannot help but to be overjoyed. And we will look back sa mga sufferings that we have endured in this earth, and it's nothing more but a pinprick compared to the glories of our Savior enjoying His presence. This is the reason why we can rejoice in suffering, sabi ni Peter. Sinabi rin po ni Paul ito sa Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Pagdating ni Jesus Christ. The anticipation of that future joy causes our hearts to rejoice in the present, even in the midst of suffering. Ito'y isang paalaala na may mas mahalaga kesa sa ease and comfort sa buhay na pinupurso po natin. And it's about the glory of God and how we must live our lives and how we are to suffer for His glory before He comes. Now, imposible po to have that joy without God. If this is unrelatable sa atin, then probably you do not have the Spirit of God dwelling, tabernacling in you. Sabi sa 1 Peter 4:14, so verse 14, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests in you. The great comforter, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that God, Christ is our great comforter. If we experience sufferings and insults and challenges for the name of Christ, He will provide that comfort. Being insulted by friends and colleagues, being rejected by loved ones, and losing friends, none of these are pleasurable. Okay? That's the truth. These hurt. Pero God promises us na He will sustain us during the hard times of suffering. The Spirit of glory comes and communes with us, have fellowship with us during these times. Nandoon po si Peter nung sinabi ni Jesus Christ sa Matthew 18, and behold, I will be with you even to the very end of age. Jesus never breaks His promise. So if you're here this morning, friends, and you are suffering right now, huwag ka mag-alala, hindi ka niya iniwan. He is with you in trials. Friends, it's during times of trials that we must draw closer to God. Hindi niya tayo pagtataboy. In fact, there is an invitation from God. Come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Second, glorify God's name. Kanina, rejoice when we face sufferings. Rejoice, now we glorify God's name. Verse 15 to 16. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Alam po ni Peter na hindi lahat ng suffering sa na nararanasan ng Christians ay galing sa persecution. Alam niya na ang mga Christians ay may mga struggle. Alam ni Peter na Christians struggle with self-entitlement. Alam niya Christians struggle with selfishness and pride. He knows that Christians ay madaling ma-offend. Okay? At may tendency to identify yung suffering na yon as persecution galing sa Panginoon. Peter is concerned about the public witness ng church, kaya niya ina-address ito. Hindi porke na may pinagdadaanan kang suffering ay galing na sa, ito na ginoglorify ng Panginoon. Kaya ang sabi ni Peter, you can't claim lahat ng suffering as persecution. He's saying, kung ikaw ay nagsasuffer for making an unwise decision or have done something that is foolish, or you broke the law, don't play the victim card. Wag po tayo pa-victim kung may ginawa tayong mali. Nagsasuffer ako kay Lord, yung pala may ginawang mali. Don't call that persecution. Don't call that suffering for the Lord. If you're doing wrong, if you've committed a crime, that's not the kind of persecution and that gives God glory. That's not the kind of suffering and rejoicing that God would give glory, that God would receive in glory. Friends, does this describe you as you view your suffering right now? What you need to do, friends, if that is you, is to repent. Talikuran mo na ang kasalanang nagawa o yung wrongdoing na ito. Be humble enough to admit your mistakes to others. Reconcile and do all it takes to make things right. You cannot call something that is a sin result consequences as suffering for the Lord. But if we suffer because we follow Jesus, we glorify Him. Now, ang pangalang Christian nung panahon ni Peter was not a name na tinawag nila sa sarili nila. Simula ngayon, tayo ay magiging Christian. Pag-print tayo ng mga t-shirts, maglagay tayo ng mga flag, and we're gonna be Christians. Hindi po. As a matter of fact, yung pangalang Christians during sa context ni Peter is yung nagpangalan sa kanila yung mga pagans. It was the pagans na nagbigay ng pangalan na ito. And not to make them feel proud, but to shame them. To make fun of them. It's a derogatory name. To embarrass and humiliate them. Ah, mga Christians. It's not something to be proud. That's why yung mga Christians sometime na yun, mga followers of Jesus Christ, feel ashamed being called as Christians. Kaya ang mga mananampalataya ay tempted to be ashamed of identifying with Christ when they're suffering. So, rather than to be insulted being called as Christians, ang sinasabi ni Peter sa kanila, don't be ashamed, but use the name Christian sa binigay nila to glorify God's name. So, in church, Christian ang tawag sa'yo, sige, gamitin ninyo. Pero yung pamumuhay niyo should reflect what a Christian is like. Kung anong itsura ni Kristo. Ang sinasabi niya, wear the name Christian proudly and adorn sa ating pamumuhay that glorifies God. Friends, are you ashamed of the name of Christ? Do your classmates know you're a Christian? Do your office mates or colleagues see and hear that you are a Christian? Or are we secret agent Christians? Shh, Pastor, secret lang yan. When I was in college, I was a new Christian. And I'm helping start a Bible study sa university na namin ng time na yon. Pero as a young Christian, atras abante po ako. Sometimes I'm doing well sa aking walk with Christ, and sometimes I flop. And one time nagkaroon po ng reunion yung aming mga batchmate, and then they knew me to be a person na kung saan makulit. Nagbago na ako ngayon. Na makulit, na mahilig sa party. Again, I'm saying this because I'm not proud of it. And then there, they asked me to pray. Because it was a Bible study reunion. So I prayed and prayed. And then one of my former beer buddies approached me and told me, "Christian ka pala? Ba't di ko makita?" And then I found out na Christian din pala siya at hindi ko rin makita. And you know what? Hindi na yung tong storya ron. Both of us are pastors now. And these are the things that we regret in life. We try to be secret agent Christians. Friends, are you a secret agent Christian? Don't be ashamed to glorify the name. One of the common struggles natin, Christians, is people-pleasing. That is a prominent struggle sa aking buhay. I'm a people-pleaser. We want people to be happy with us, hindi ba? And so ginagawa natin ang magagawa natin para lang matuwa sa atin ng tao, and that they would accept us. And we need to be reminded na we are Christ followers. Okay? Yung struggle natin about people-pleasing, that should die. That we should kill that. And we need to constantly remind us that we are not our own anymore. We're bought by the blood of Christ. So which means as Christ followers, we only fear one person, and that is God, not man. Fear God. Kill fear of men. Friends, this passage is so helpful para sa atin dito sa Crossroads, helpful for us to be reminded na as we proclaim the gospel dito sa Deira, as we corporately proclaim the gospel dito sa Dubai, we will never please the people in this city. Kind of think of it, we can try, but hindi talaga natin sila mapi-please. But because we hold the banner of Christians, dapat maging resolve na tayo not to be people-pleasers. Now, I'm not talking about being rude to people. I'm not talking about being secluded sa kanila. In-isolate mo sarili mo sa mga hindi mananampalataya. No. What I'm saying is, we have a message that is offensive. Kaya as a church, we do everything to fight the temptation to be relevant, to be cool, or try to look like the world sa ating worship service, or to change the gospel just to reach people. Now, I will be teaching something about funny things or something na kusang related sa life. Not bad things, but kind of things that can be very attractive. We try to fight that because we want to preach only Christ and Him crucified. Pray for us that we would continue with that heart. These are temptations that we experience just to get numbers, just to get followers in social media. And that's not just us as a church, that's us individually as Christians. Should we reach the world? Absolutely, we should reach the word. Yeah, world, yes. And we do that by preaching, singing, praying the gospel and showing the gospel through the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Friends, we need to be reminded that the gospel is an offensive message to the world. So if you are a people pleaser, trying to please friends, pleasing them to come to Christ, it's not going to happen. It's either you please them and reject Christ or please Christ and lose them. Because you have an offensive message. Bakit naman offensive? Di ba good news? Yeah, before you appreciate and savor the good news, they need to see the bad news. And the bad news is, makasalanan ka. Wala kang kayang gawing kabutihan sa harapan ng Diyos. You would be accused as being self-righteous, as someone na kung saan a bigot. Because of the message that we bear. Now, I'm not saying be harsh in sharing the gospel. You should be sharing truth with love. There's timing, there are ways. Of course, we're not going to talk about that. Ang point lang natin dito. If you're going to be a people pleaser to win people, then the question is, where are you winning them to? Kanino mo sila wini-win? Ang kagandaan lang dito is that we, as we continue to suffer for Christ, the Spirit of God rests in us. So friends, press towards our new identity in Christ. And so glorify Him that those who mock us for our faith are left without excuse. Third and last, and we're done. Entrust our lives to the sovereign Savior. For those of you who are suffering for Jesus, entrust your life to the God who knows what He is doing. Verse 17 hanggang 19. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Again, nakikita na naman natin yung end times judgment passage. That's same as nakita natin last week. Na kapag balik ni Jesus, all things will be made right. Praise God. We long for that day. Pero ang sinasabi din ni Peter dito, na ang end times judgment has entered into the present age in the sufferings of believers for the sake of Christ. Now, what do I mean by that? Sa passage na ito, nakikita natin na may magaganap na present judgment for Christians at future judgment for non-Christians. Verse 17, sabi dyan, the church, which is mentioned the household of God, will be judged at times sa present life na ito. Now, teka muna. Akala ko ba if you are in Christ, you are a new creation, you are now reconciled to God the Father, and you will not be judged for your sins for eternity anymore. Then bakit sinasabi niya rito na magsisimula ang judgment sa church, sa mga anak ng Diyos? Now, ang judgment, eh, here's the reason. Kasi ang judgment po na tinutukoy dito sa first part ng verse 17 does not mean eternal punishment to sin. Kasi ang context niya, kung titingnan, is verse 12, fiery trials, di ba? And chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, which is yung binasa natin. This is judgment for the purpose of discipline. Judgment for the purpose of discipline. Believers will go through loving, purifying, refining, suffering. That's why Peter is saying, expect it will happen. Kasi lahat ng Christians will go through that refining fire. Ang goal is again not to destroy. Ang goal is to strengthen, to disciple, to train, to build ang ating character, to be more and more like Christ, and to build us up and to purify the church. That's the discipline na sinasabi po dito. It doesn't necessarily discipline because of sin, but because God is doing a good work in us to sanctify us, to make us become more and more like Christ. That's why yun yung judgment. Yun yung suffering for those who are in Christ. And again, i-echo ko yung sinabi ko na nakalakip sa isang tunay na mananampalataya ay suffering. Because God has used the means of suffering to transform His people. To take away those impurities. Of course, we have not reached that dito sa buhay na to, like we have mentioned last week. We will see that in full 4K vision or even plus pa when we see Christ come back. Believers will go through loving, purifying, refining suffering. If you are going through suffering right now, mga kapatid, suffering doing God's will, it does not mean that God doesn't love you. It does not mean that God has abandoned you. It does not mean that God is torturing you. He does love you and will test you, refine you, strengthen you, build you up. Now, there is also a future judgment, and nabanggit sa second part ng verse 17, that will result to eternal punishment to those who do not obey the gospel. Those who do not obey the gospel? Ang ibig sabihin po neto ay simple lang. Those who have rejected the gospel. Those who are non-Christians. This means if you do not have a relationship with God and you continue to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and then Christ returns, you will face eternal suffering. One day, those who insult, mock, and harm Christians and their loved ones because of their faith, kung magpapatuloy itong mga tao na ito, rejecting Jesus, God will judge them. Friends, how many times have you been in this church? How many times have you been into a gospel preaching church that you hear this warning? I urge you, stop rejecting the salvation that Christ has provided for His people. Sabi sa 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. This is a scary but glorious event. Verse 5, 2 Thessalonians 1. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering. He's talking to Christians. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who will afflict you and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. This is a warning, friends. Friends, if you are here and have not responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and every time you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are insulting Christ and what He has done. And if you continue to have that heart posture, He will come and judge. But He has given you hope. He has given you a chance to be redeemed, to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to be reunited to Him and His people. The good news is God is extending His patience, His mercy, and grace to you. God sent His Son, Jesus, who is truly man and truly God, to bring us near to God. The cross represents the greatest suffering in human history. Jesus suffered on that cross. Jesus suffered not just physically, but also experienced God's full wrath in taking upon Himself our sin. Jesus endured the cross. Why? For the joy that is set before Him. The joy that is set before Him. On the cross, He entrusted His Spirit to God. When He breathed His last. Friends, Christ suffered God's wrath
so that you and I would not suffer eternal wrath. There is an invitation to repent from your sins of self-reliance, self-saving Savior, and put your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation. To Him alone we can find rest and salvation. Now, Peter gives us a summary of his letter on suffering pagdating sa verse 19. And this is a great comfort for those of us who are suffering doing God's will. Ito ang sinabi niya, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to the faithful Creator while doing good. Peter described God as the faithful Creator. This means that the Creator of all things is sovereign over all His creation. Ang hardship na pinagdadaanan mo at pinagdadaanan ko ngayon ay hindi aksidente. Ito'y kinaloob niya according to the will of God. Di ba yun ang sinabi? And we must understand that God is sovereign. He will give us trials. He will allow us to go through suffering. But if we continue and persevere and trust Him, kailangan matandaan natin that if we are in the midst of suffering, entrust your souls to Him who cares for you. He knows what He is doing sa life mo, kapatid. Now, let me speak to those who are suffering in general. I've spoken to those who are suffering Christians doing God's will. That's why doon nakafocus yung text, doon ang focus ng application. But since we are in the topic of suffering, allow me to speak to Christians who are suffering in general. Hindi lahat ng suffering ay related sa suffering for Christ at meron sa congregation po natin o maaaring sa congregation natin ngayon, umaga, who are suffering physically, who are suffering emotionally, mentally, who are suffering relationally, who are enduring, lamenting a loss of a loved one. You know na you're walking right naman sa harapan ng Panginoon. Pastor, I'm relying on the Lord naman. I'm fighting sin. I'm serving God's people. Pero why is this such an intense suffering in my life? Sa aming pamilya. As we try to walk faithfully sa Panginoon. Well, maybe gaya ni Paul sa 1 Corinthians chapter 12, makaka-relate kayo rito. Paul has a thorn in the flesh. Now, we do not know what that thorn of the flesh is. Some say it's a physical ailment. Some, it's the suffering that Paul endures sa mga problems at churches because of those false teachers. We don't know. But because it was not mentioned, we have the liberty to insert, to imply sa, and apply sa atin as we go through sufferings. Maybe you can relate kay Paul. And you prayed and begged the Lord 3 times, Lord, take it away! Lord, ayoko nang masaktan. Lord, ayoko nang maghirap. Lord, hindi ko na kaya. And you prayed and prayed, and what you get is what Paul got. God answered Paul to 2 Corinthians 12, no. What do you do now? Anong gagawin mo ngayon? Friends, do what Paul did. Sabi ni Paul, as he hears God's word, as he hears from the Lord, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Friends, pray. Pray that the Lord would provide sustaining grace. So should we not pray that God would remove? We should. And we can pray for that. Pray for that. But as you wait, pray for God's sustaining grace. Because walang accidenting suffering, di ba? It's there for a reason. It's purposeful. pray that the Lord would show you the reason why. But as you wait, trust in this sovereign, faithful, good God. Mga ka-expats sa mundo, whether you are suffering doing God's will or suffering in general as a Christian, the principle still applies. Continue to do God's will and entrust your life to Him who loves you and who is faithful sa iyo. Expats of this world are called to face trials with joy, worship, and trust in the sovereign God.